Please, May, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
I tell you this. There is no coincidence, and nothing happens by accident. Each event and adventure is called to yourself by yourself in order that you might create and experience who you really are. All true masters know this. That is why mystic masters remain unperturbed in the face of the worst experiences of life, as you would define them. The great teachers of your Christian religion understand this. They know that Jesus was not perturbed by the crucifixion, but expected it. He could have walked away, but he did not. He could have stopped the process at any point. He had that power, yet he did not. He allowed himself to be crucified in order that he might stand as man's eternal salvation. Look, he said, at what I can do. Look at what is true, and know that these things and more shall you also do. For have I not said, ye are gods? Yet you do not believe. If you cannot, then believe in yourself. Believe in me. Such was Jesus' compassion that he begged for a way and created it to so impact the world that all might come to heaven, self-realization, if in no other way than through him. For he defeated misery and death, and so might you. The grandest teaching of Christ was not that you shall have everlasting life, but that you do. Not that you shall have brotherhood in God, but that you do. Not that you shall have whatever you request, but that you do. All that is required is to know this, for you are the creator of your own reality, and life can show up no other way for you than that way in which you think it will. You think it into being. This is the first step in creation. God the Father is thought. Your thought is the parent which gives birth to all things.
This is one of the laws we are to remember.
Yes.
Can you tell me others?
I've told you others. I've told you them all since the beginning of time. Over and over I've told you them. Teacher after teacher have I sent you. You do not listen to my teachers. You kill them.
But why? Why do we kill the holiest among us? We kill them or dishonor them, which is the same thing. Why?
Because they stand against every thought you have that would deny me. And deny me you must if you are to deny yourself.
Why would I want to deny you or me?
Because you're afraid. And because my promises are too good to be true. Because you cannot accept the grandest truth. And so you must reduce yourself to a spirituality which teaches fear and dependence and intolerance rather than love and power and acceptance. You're filled with fear. And your biggest fear is that my biggest promise might be life's biggest lie. And so you create the biggest fantasy you can to defend yourself against this. You claim that any promise which gives you the power and guarantees you the love of God must be the false promise of the devil. God would never make such a promise, you tell yourself. Only the devil would. To tempt you into denying God's true identity as the fearsome, judgmental, jealous, vengeful, and punishing entity of entities. Even though this description better fits the definition of a devil, if there were one. You have assigned devilish characteristics to God in order to convince yourself not to accept the godlike promises of your Creator or the godlike qualities of the self. Such is the power of fear.
I'm trying to let go of my fear. Will you tell me again more of the laws?
The first law is that you can be, do, and have whatever you can imagine. The second law is that you attract what you fear.
Why is that?
Emotion is the power which attracts. That which you fear strongly, you will experience. An animal, which you consider a lower form of life, even though animals act with more integrity and greater consistency than humans, knows immediately if you are afraid of it. Plants, which you consider an even lower form of life, respond to people who love them far better than to those who couldn't care less. None of this is by coincidence. There is no coincidence in the universe. Only a grand design, an incredible snowflake. Emotion is energy in motion. When you move energy, you create effect. If you move enough energy, you create matter. Matter is energy conglomerated, moved around, shoved together. If you manipulate energy long enough in a certain way, you get matter. Every master understands this law. It's the alchemy of the universe. It's the secret of all life. Thought is pure energy. Every thought you have ever had, and ever will have, is creative. The energy of your thought never, ever dies. Ever. It leaves your being and heads out into the universe, extending forever. A thought is forever. All thoughts congeal. All thoughts meet other thoughts, crisscrossing in an incredible maze of energy, forming an ever-changing pattern of unspeakable beauty and unbelievable complexity. Like energy attracts like energy, forming, to use simple words, clumps of energy of like kind. When enough similar clumps crisscross each other, run into each other, they stick to each other. To use another simple term, it takes an incomprehensibly huge amount of similar energy sticking together thusly to form matter. But matter will form out of pure energy. In fact, that is the only way it can form. Once energy becomes matter, it remains matter for a very long time, unless its construction is disrupted by an opposing or dissimilar form of energy. This dissimilar energy, acting upon matter, actually dismembers the matter, releasing the raw energy of which it was composed. This is, in elementary terms, the theory behind your atomic bomb. Einstein came closer than any other human being, before or since, to discovering, explaining, and functionalizing the creative secret of the universe. You should now better understand how people of like mind can work together to create a favored reality. The phrase, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, becomes much more meaningful. Of course, when entire societies think a certain way, very often astonishing things happen, not all of them necessarily desirable. For instance, a society living in fear very often, actually, inevitably, produces in form that which it fears most. Similarly, large communities or congregations often find miracle-producing power in combined thinking, or what some people call common prayer. And it must be made clear that even individuals, if their thought, prayer, hope, wish, dream, fear, is amazingly strong, can, in and of themselves, produce such results. Jesus did this regularly. He understood how to manipulate energy and matter, how to rearrange it, how to redistribute it, how to utterly control it. Many masters have known this. Many know it now. You can know it right now. This is the knowledge of good and evil of which Adam and Eve partook. Until they understood this, there could be no life as you know it. Adam and Eve, the mythical names you have given to represent first man and first woman, were the father and mother of the human experience. What has been described as the fall of Adam was actually his upliftment, the greatest single event in the history of humankind. For without it, the world of relativity would not exist. The act of Adam and Eve was not original sin, but in truth, first blessing. You should thank them from the bottom of your hearts, for in being the first to make a wrong choice, Adam and Eve produced the possibility of making any choice at all. In your mythology, you have made Eve the bad one, the temptress who ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and coyly invited Adam to join her. This mythological setup has allowed you to make woman man's downfall ever since, resulting in all manner of warped realities, not to mention distorted sexual views and confusions. How can you feel so good about something so bad? What you most fear is what will most plague you. Fear will draw it to you like a magnet. All your holy scriptures of every religious persuasion and tradition which you have created contain the clear admonition, fear not. Do you think this is by accident? The laws are very simple. Thought is creative. Fear attracts like energy. Love is all there is.
Oops, you got me on that third one. How can love be all there is if fear attracts like energy?
Love is the ultimate reality. It is the only, the all. The feeling of love is your experience of God. In highest truth, love is all there is, all there was, and all there ever will be. When you move into the absolute, you move into love. The realm of the relative was created in order that I might experience myself. This has already been explained to you. This does not make the realm of the relative real. It is a created reality you and I have devised and continue to devise in order that we may know ourselves experientially. Yet the creation can seem very real. Its purpose is to seem so real we accept it as truly existing. In this way, God has contrived to create something else other than itself, though in strictest terms this is impossible since God is I am, all that is. In creating something else, namely the realm of the relative, I have produced an environment in which you may choose to be God rather than simply being told that you are God, in which you may experience Godhead as an act of creation rather than a conceptualization in which the little candle in the sun, the littlest soul, can know itself as the light. Fear is the other end of love. It is the primal polarity. In creating the realm of the relative, I first created the opposite of myself. Now, in the realm in which you live on the physical plane, there are only two places of being, fear and love. Thoughts rooted in fear will produce one kind of manifestation on the physical plane. Thoughts rooted in love will produce another. The masters who have walked the planet are those who have discovered the secret of the relative world and refuse to acknowledge its reality. In short, masters are those who have chosen only love. In every instance, in every moment, in every circumstance, even as they were being killed, they loved their murderers. Even as they were being persecuted, they loved their oppressors. This is very difficult for you to understand, much less emulate. Nevertheless, it is what every master has ever done. It doesn't matter what the philosophy, it doesn't matter what the tradition, it doesn't matter what the religion, it is what every master has done. This example and this lesson has been laid out so clearly for you, time and time again, over and over has it been shown to you. Through all the ages and in every place, through all your lifetimes and in every moment, the universe has used every contrivance to place this truth before you in song and story, in poetry and dance, in words and in motion, in pictures of motion, which you call motion pictures, and in collections of words, which you call books. From the highest mountain, it has been shouted. In the lowest place, its whisper has been heard. Through the corridors of all human experience has this truth been echoed. Love is the answer. Yet you have not listened. Now come you to this conversation, asking God again what God has told you countless times in countless ways. Yet I will tell you again, here. Will you listen now? Will you truly hear? What do you think brought you to this? How does it come to pass that you are listening to this? Do you think I know not what I am doing? There are no coincidences in the universe.